WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
New York City's Health and Hospitals Corporation, or HHC, has signed a multi-million dollar contract with St. George's University School of Medicine based on the island of Grenada. As part of the contract, St. George students do their internships, or as it's known in med school, clerkships at the city's public hospitals. And in return, the struggling city hospitals reap the financial benefits of the deal. Sounds like a win-win, doesn't it? Well, not everyone is happy. New York medical schools fear the contract will lead to fewer clerkship spots for their students, especially since there are so few of them to begin with. Joining us in the studio to discuss the anatomy of the deal is Charles Modica, Chancellor of St. George University. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And on the phone, we have Dr. Michael Reichgott, Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs and Graduate Medical Education at Albert Einstein Medical School in the Bronx. Dr. Reichgott, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Charles Modica, I will start with you. For those unfamiliar with how medical students are trained, explain how clerkships work.
Well, the clerkship activity begins in the third year of medical school at St. George's, as well as most of or all of the American schools. Students rotate through medicine, surgery, OB, gynecology, pediatrics, and psychiatry. Those are called the core rotations. It takes about a year to do that. And then in the fourth year, they do electives in the field that they may endeavor to go into.
And can you break down the details of the contract between St. George's School of Medicine and HHC? How does that work?
Well, the contract works that St. George's University is willing to share its tuition with the city hospitals to help them defray the cost of medical education. And we do that in the spirit of being a good partner with these hospitals in the city of New York, as well as nationwide, as well as in Great Britain, where we have teaching programs. It's a very productive mechanism. It allows our students to receive top-notch training, especially here in New York City, where it's the mecca of teaching hospitals. And it allows for our students to engage in meaningful clerkship activities. We have students from over 80 countries, and it's a great thrill for them, not only for the U.S. citizens that go to St. George's, but the students from other countries that come up here to New York City to train. Over the years, we've had 120 Grenadian full scholarship students all train in New York City. And we're very proud of that. They brought a lot back to the Caribbean, a lot of modern medicine. It helps the Caribbean region. It has helped New York City and the hospitals. And it, in turn, gives the New York City hospitals a lot of residents from our institution, as well as the New York schools. We're kind of a supplement to the New York schools who don't produce enough doctors and never have.
So your school pays, what, $440 a student to HHC to have a student come do a clerkship there in their third year of med school?
Well, I wish it was $440 in their clerkship. It's $440 per week.
Per week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite a bit of money.
And so that does that bind HHC to take students from St. George's?
No, actually it doesn't. One of the things that HHC was very clear about at the onset is that the American schools, especially the New York City schools, have preference. And we've always acknowledged that and respected that. We have a great deal of respect for the role of the American schools and the New York City schools, despite the fact that they have never been able to produce enough physicians. So we're supplemental. They have first dibs at all of the clerkships, which is why I don't understand why some of the deans have become preoccupied, worrying that our students would take their slots. That was never intended. That has never happened. We've been doing this before this contract, ironically. We've been here starting at Coney Island Hospital since 1978. So we've been here for 30 years with clerkship activities at major hospitals here in New York and as well as other states. And we have never had a case that I know of where a student at a U.S. or a New York school has been displaced or been told they don't have room for them.
Dr. Michael Reichscott, but
yes.
you feel differently about this. You feel that this would limit the amount of spaces for students from Albert Einstein.
Potentially from Einstein, certainly it, from other schools in the area. And I think the issue goes beyond the question of the specific contract between St. George's and the Health and Hospitals Corporation, because St. George's is buying clerkship slots in other hospitals in the area, as are other schools from the Caribbean and elsewhere. And the result of that is that several of the local schools have been unable to maintain clerkship programs and have been unable to expand their classes in response to a state mandate around workforce development because they've been unable to find the resources needed to place those students. In particular, Stony Brook has been unable to make an expansion. Truro Medical School, an osteopathic school that just opened in Harlem that's dedicated to inner city medicine to a highly diverse student population, has been unable to find clerkship resources, particularly in Harlem Hospital in its neighborhood. So while it may be true that the small number of offshore students that have been coming in for the last many years has not affected us up until now, it's very clear that going forward, as we try and expand, and as they are substantially expanding, we're going to run into a collision for the number of slots.
But what about Charles's argument that he's talking about the slots that are open to foreign medical students? The slots to American medical students are a different pool, a different resource pool that they're drawing from.
Well, the clerkship slots, I think, in a broad sense, are a single resource pool. It is true that there have not been enough students or as many students in the New York area to fill every available slot. But the point that I'm trying to make is that as the New York schools are attempting to expand, again, in response to a state mandate to develop an expanded workforce to meet the state need, they're running into collision with the offshore schools around these clerkships. And the equation, the thing that changes the dynamic is the fact that the offshore students come with cash,
right,
which on the surface of it sounds very wonderful. However, they also pay a substantially higher tuition than our students do. And part of the state interest has been to reduce the burden of cost to the medical student in order to encourage them to go into primary care because of the lower reimbursements that you get as a primary care physician. So the issue becomes very complicated. If we had to compete for the same number of dollars of cash to pay for clerkships, if that becomes the commodity basis of medical training, then we would have to substantially raise the tuition of the local schools because where's the cash going to come from?
Charles Modica, your students are, in general, from what I understand, wealthy students.
I wish they were. I'm sure if any of them are hearing this right now, they're probably cringing because there's a few misstatements that our good friend from Albert Einstein School of Medicine has made, and I believe he's well-intentioned in his concern. But, for instance, he cited as one example Harlem Hospital, where Toro is having problems getting placements. We do not have one student rotating in Harlem Hospital. And I don't know if we ever have had one student.
You might not, but other Caribbean
and that's the beauty of this new HHC contract. The new HHC contract, which my colleague here from Einstein should endorse, limits the Caribbean schools to the number one school, and that's St. George's University. And that's number one by all sorts of criteria, in addition to the original American Medical Association article that ranked foreign medical schools by their pass rates on the licensing exam. Out of all of the countries in the world, we ranked number two of all of the countries next to Belgium in our initial pass rate on the licensing exams in the last published study, number one. Number two, We have not been in Harlem Hospital. If there are other students from other schools that followed us along the way, that followed the number one school, this contract eliminates that problem. That's one of the beauties of it. We have an exclusive contract not against other U.S. schools, but against other foreign schools. A lot of those schools don't have the accreditations that we have. Grenada was the fourth country in the world to have the United States Department of Education approve our accreditation process, as in the words of the Department of Education of the United States of America, being comparable to the LCME that accredits Einstein.
We'll get to the issue of accreditation in a moment. But what about the larger issue that Dr. Reichgott raised, which is something that didn't used to have a price tag attached to it, clerkships, something that hospitals and teaching colleges collaborated in before without a fee. Now you're coming in paying money for it and raising the bar for everybody else to follow suit and do the same, and making his argument is that it makes the cost of going to med school exponentially higher for everyone.
Again, our friend from Albert Einstein has said, essentially to me, predicted what the weather would be today 30 years ago. How accurate could that be? We've been doing this and paying for clerkships for 30 years. So if his fear was going to be realized, one would think in three decades it would have been realized. We've always shared our tuition with hospitals that we rotate our students through. We never expected that U.S. schools would need to follow, nor ought to follow. We're doing it because we feel it's a privilege to be in some of the finest hospitals in the United States and in Great Britain, and we're willing to share our tuition with those hospitals. It never equated to the U.S. schools having to follow us, or that would have happened 30 years ago.
Medical students, we are interested in hearing from you, 646-778-3729, 646-SPUDRAY. I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer here on WNYC, and we're talking about the exclusive foreign medical school contract that the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation has signed with St. George's University in Grenada. Dr. Reich, yes, go ahead.
I want to follow up on Dr. Modica's point. You know, I think he makes some important points about the role of St. George's and the difference perhaps between it and the other offshore schools. And I have no disagreement with that. And everything that he said about the impact of the dollars, et cetera, is quite true. But that's the past. Okay, in the United States, the Association of American Medical Colleges is called on American allopathic schools, and I'm not talking about all schools, just the allopathic schools, to increase class size by 30% by the year 2020. We're pretty close to have already done that. The osteopathic schools have almost doubled in numbers of students. These are the in-country schools that are accredited either by the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, which is the allopathic accreditation body, or the similar accreditation body for osteopaths. At the same time, the number of offshore students is increasing exponentially. So that what may have been true in the past is not necessarily true in the future. And his contract with HHC, which, as he says, doesn't allow any other offshore schools in, that may be fine. But the issue goes far beyond the contract with HHC. The issue goes to the whole question of selling clerkships as a commodity.
Here's the statement that we have from HHC. Our arrangement with St. George's supports the public hospital's mission in a number of ways. It is a good pipeline of qualified physicians of diverse backgrounds, cultures, and languages. It is also a good pipeline of physicians who are more likely to practice primary care and fill the existing gap. And it provides a source of financial support, and that matters too. This relationship allows HHC to close the gap between revenue and expenses without impacting patient services or negatively impacting existing relationships. At a time when hospital systems are underfunded, we need to find ways to bring in resources to support our mission. And again, that's the statement from the city's
right.
Health and Hospitals Corporation. Dr. Reichgott, we are hearing of states slashing funding to hospitals. It's a debate up in Albany. It's happening over in New Jersey. Medicaid prices are not keeping pace with the cost of providing medical care. Why not turn to this and make this an income stream for a hospital?
Well, first of all, I think that the statement in its broadest sense is not entirely accurate. There is a highly diverse student body in local medical schools, in the eight schools that are in the immediate metropolitan area and the several that use the HHC facilities. So diversity of student body is not an issue. We already provide diverse student body. In terms of primary care, I think that's an absolute misunderstanding of what actually is happening. The New York State Center for Workforce Studies has been tracking the career choices of graduates, and they've been doing this for more than 10 years. And we asked them, actually, in order to be accurate about this question, we asked them, what is happening in primary care, comparing graduates of New York medical schools and offshore schools, American nationals who come from offshore medical schools. And it turns out that if you look at the data for 2007, more than 20% of New York State student graduates stay to do primary care in underserved areas. Less than 5% of the offshore school American nationals stay to do primary care after residency. Now, you'd say, why is that true? Well, the reason that it's true is because a primary driver of career choice for medical schools, of medical students at the present time, which they tell us and they tell the AAMC, is the cost of their education and their loan burden. And if you add the cost that's associated with the charge for clerkships to the underlying cost of education, it's going to be very difficult for the students to be able to say, gee, I'll stay in an underserved area doing primary care as compared to doing subspecialty work.
Doctor.
So the issue of primary care is entirely, I think, one that is wishful thinking, and it would be nice if it were true, but it really isn't.
Dr. Reichgott, how much does it cost a patient or a student to go to Albert Einstein Medical School?
The tuition is $36,000, round numbers.
And Dr. Modica, for the Grenada?
It varies by year, but the total averages about $40,000 per year, very close.
So
about 40. I was under the understanding it was closer to 50.
For the 1/3-year clinical clerkship program, because it's continuous. But if you average our tuition over the 4 years, I can assure you it's about $40,000 a year. I wish it was more.
There's a shortage of doctors and surgeons, not only in New York but across the country. Doesn't this deal? Well, you would argue, Dr. Modica, this deal guarantees more doctors in the long run. I think you were stressing that earlier by saying New York City's medical schools are not producing enough doctors.
And they haven't for many, many years. And this is the thing that concerns me the most. If you look at the state of New York right now, the entire state, I believe it's 1/4 or 1/3 of all of the physicians in this state were foreign trained, and many of them foreign born. This is the mecca of medical education in this city. The Health and Hospital Corporation hospitals we are so proud to be in. And we should be a doctor exporter here from the United States, not an importer. And we're just helping a little bit to make those stats a tiny bit better. But the bottom line is that the model of the American Medical School, even though they are attempting, and I agree with the good doctor, they are attempting to increase enrollment. For about 30 years now, they haven't. Last year, they had a 2.9% increase in enrollment. The year before that, even less. So they're attempting to do it, but it's so way behind that it's going to be difficult to catch up.
Well, wait a minute. This doesn't track with your earlier argument, though. If this relationship with HHC is not excluding American med students from participating in clerkships, then how is it guaranteeing a stream of how is this relationship guaranteeing more doctors in the long run?
Because we admit doctors that wouldn't have been admitted at other schools. And those students, the American citizens, about 70% of our student body are U.S. citizens. They will come back and practice medicine in the United States.
And they're not admitted in American medical schools because their grades are poor, right?
No, well, there's another fallacy.
We have a commentator from who emailed this question, and
okay.
Not sure if it's the case, but I remember years ago that students went to medical schools offshore because they couldn't afford to go in the States, or their grades were not good enough to get into U.S. schools. Any truth to that?
Well, we have students coming in from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and every other Ivy League school, as well as every middle echelon university in this country.
Wait a minute. They decide not. They leave Harvard Medical School to come to Grenada?
No, there's not enough places in the United States of America for the number of qualified applicants. That's the key. If you look at our GPA entering class, and we publish it, compared with the average American school, we're usually a tenth or two-tenths of a point at most behind the U.S. school. And my point is, as our friends at Einstein anywhere else know, that's an average. They have students above that average and below. If you take the top 40% of our entering class, they're above the U.S. average. Does that mean that they should be taking the places of some U.S. students? My point is that they're indistinguishable. The average GPA of our entering class and their MCAT scores are indistinguishable from American medical student entering classes. That's one of the reasons, and we haven't brought this out, but even Einstein Medical School has taken transfer students from St. George's University.
No.
Yes,
no.
You have. Well, we
haven't taken a transfer student in the 25 years that I've been here. So,
all right. Well, maybe
so
it was before
be
you got there, but I have
but
two
let,
names
let
of
me,
transfer
let me just
students.
Let me speak to the issue of.
Let Dr. Eichko speak, please.
Sure.
Go ahead, Dr. Eichko.
So again, and I don't have data on Grenada per se. And quite honestly, Amy and Dr. Modica, I really, my position is not directed at Grenada, at St. George's as an individual school. It's really in the context of the whole question of offshore. But I have data from the Association of American Medical Schools. This is the MCAT scores. That's the test scores that are required for application for medical school, and the grade point averages. This is for students in 2004. I'm sorry, it's the latest data that I have, but I'm reading it off the computer. The total MCAT score with a possible maximum of 45 for American students in American schools is 27.4. The MCAT score for the American students going to offshore schools is less than 20.
And at Grenada, it's about 27.
Not Grenada. That's
okay.
All offshore.
And that's my point. Grenada is the number one school, and you know it as well as I do, and right. I appreciate you respecting that. But the problem is we shouldn't have an anchor around our neck for the other schools that have followed us, because our MCAT score is around 26 or 27, sometimes hitting 28. We're right on par with the U.S. schools. Our entering classes are indistinguishable from American medical school entering classes. Our graduates are indistinguishable from American graduates. And more than 1,500 students have transferred to just about every American medical school over the years. And they've accepted our students with full credit, and they've done well.
Dr. Eichko, I wanted to, and Dr. Modick, I want to wrap this conversation up. We will continue it certainly online at WNYC.org, clicking on the Brian Lehrer Show for your comments. I want to get back to this issue, though, of New York schools not producing enough doctors. I would gather, Dr. Eichko, from your argument earlier that if Albert Einstein were to start paying for clerkships the way St. George's is, it would drive up the cost of tuition, which would limit the number of doctors coming out of New York City's med school programs. So what's the solution? If it's not paying for clerkships, what is limiting the number of doctors? What can be done to grow the number of doctors?
Well, as I said, in response to the Association of American Medical Colleges call, American medical schools across the country have begun to increase their output. The New York State schools, not all of the schools in New York State, but the state schools, the State University of New York schools, have all plans to increase their clerkship, numbers of students. There's a new, as I say, osteopathic school that's just opened in Harlem. There's a new allopathic school scheduled to open in, or at least working toward opening sometime in about the next 3 years out on Long Island. Similarly, there's a new allopathic school that's under development in North Jersey. So the idea of increasing the number of physicians trained in LCME-accredited schools or AOA-accredited schools here in the United States and certainly in this local area is very real, and that's where the problem comes. It's not that Grenada hasn't been doing what it's been doing. I give them great credit for what they've been doing. The reality is, though, that the new schools and the expanding schools in this area are already running into difficulty in competition with schools that are paying cash for access to clerkships.
And that's where we
will...
And
if they're going to have to compete and pay cash for access to clerkships, they're going to have to raise their tuitions. And what that's going to do is going to shift the mix of medical students away from the diversity that we would like, away from the historically underrepresented and socioeconomically deprived communities that we're really trying to bring in. And it's going to force medicine to become an occupation of the privileged elite.
And
your comment about wealthy students going to the offshore is not untrue. It is.
And that's where we will leave it. Dr. Michael Reichgott, I'm mispronouncing your name. Dr. Michael Reichgott, Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs and Graduate Medical Education at Albert Einstein Medical School in the Bronx. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Charles Modica, Chancellor of St. George University in Grenada, thank you for joining me in the studio.
Thank you.
After the break, we take a close look at hospitals, very close at superbacteria and how tough strains are threatening our health. Stay tuned.